This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ما بعد يوم 13 من شهر شوال 1445 الموافق ل 22 من شهر أبريل 2020 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك I did not mention every hadith mentioned by the Prophet. من بيان اللي معنا لفظ غريب. He says, and also attached to that sharat, you know, whatever is needed for a student of knowledge to understand what the Prophet ﷺ meant by that sharat. أو بيان للأماكن التي ورد ذكرها في الأحاديث. And also, if there is any place where the hadith talk about, I try my best to tell you where is this place located these days. وكذلك أعقبت كل علامة بشرح موجز مقتبس من كلام العلماء. He says, after every علامة, I try my best to, you know, write a bit, a small commentary to tell you what exactly you're supposed to understand concerning that علامة. أو مما جاء. So I'm going to do it also through the statement of the scholars. أو مما جاء من الأحاديث التي لها علاقة بالعلامة المشروحة. Or any hadith that has relation, you know, to this alama that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is talking about. وتعرضت للرد على بعض من أنكر شيئا من أشراط الساعة. And also, at the same time, also any place that I know somebody who is rejecting this sharat, he says I also refuted them somehow. Okay, I write a small refutation against those people who are rejecting that particular sign of the Day of Judgment. أو تأولها بغير ما تدل عليه أحاديثها. Or somebody who is interpreting them in the way that is contrary to the literal meaning. Yeah, the meaning says this, but he has some ta'wil. So I try to refute. Look here. ليس يصح في الأذهان شيء إذا احتاج النهار إلى دليل. There are some people who are like that, you know. they view the reality, they see the reality which is absent and away from our sight. Why can't their iman be? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel to me. And then he told them, the most amazing ones are those who will come afterward. They just see things written in the book and they accept with no rejection. Yeah. So if you're going to have a lot of calculations, you know, before you accept the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you're losing this virtue. Yeah, you're not included in this praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that of Rasulullah. excuses. I don't want to call them so-called excuses. Yeah, in reality, they are. Yeah, if you manage your time properly, you have a time to attend your classes, not to meet a single class. Yeah, but unfortunately, shaitan deceives us a lot. You know, this is what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. So it is my personal advice, not only our class, but any class that you're going, please arrange your your time properly. Don't miss a class. These are the best moments that you will remember when you move out of this dunya. Yeah, we are here not to stay temporarily. So these are the best moments in your dunya, yeah, if you do the right thing. So at the same time, also focus so much, you will benefit a lot. Yeah, because these scholars, although they are talking about a topic, but sometimes there are some other topics which are related to it, so they have to bring it inside. So they, you know, subhanAllah, did a lot of job. They make your life easy when you reach those ones, you know, inshallah. قَالَ وَكَذَلِكَ فَإِنَّ هَذَا الْبَحْثَ دَعْوَةٌ لِلْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَتَصْدِيقٌ لِمَا أَخْبَرَ بِهِ الصَّادِقُ الْمَصْدُوقُ الَّذِي لَا يَنْتَقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He says, and this compilation is also a research, you know, which is acting as an invitation to every Muslim to come and believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter. You know, I just want you to understand, to receive the information correctly, and at the same time also to help you to improve your iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter. And also to accept and to agree with whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الَّذِي هُوَ الصَّادِقُ الْمَصْدُوقُ الصَّادِقُ فِي مَا أَخْبَرَ بِهِ وَالْمَصْدُوقُ فِي مَا أُخْبِرَ بِهِ. Sadiq, you know, the one who is truthful in whatever he says, and the one who received the truth. Whatever is given to him is the truth. That's the meaning of as-sadiq al-masduq. Alladhi la yantaqu an al-hawa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never spoke based on his desire. In huwa illa wahi yuha. Whatever he tells us, this is part of the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. Huwa aydan da'watun lit-ta'ahhub lima ba'd al-maut. This one is very important. He says it's also an invitation to all of us to get ready to that which will come after death. Yeah. What is after death? Resting, right? And sleeping. Yeah. Poet says, وَلَوْ أَنَّا إِذَا مِتْنَا تُرِكْنَا لَكَانَ الْمَوْتُ رَاحَةَ كُلِّ حَيِّنْ. He says, if the issue is that when we die, we will be left like that. You know, Allah SWT will leave us. Okay, we die, khalas. He says, لَكَانَ الْمَوْتُ رَاحَةَ كُلِّ حَيِّنْ. Death is going to be the moment of rest for every living one. Yeah, you're suffering from, you know, the tragedy of this dunya, you know, and the hardship. What left? If death is just the end of it, then the person just go. If things are not going to be okay, yeah, just move forward. If there is no life after that, just move. You know, why do you keep on staying, you know? Understand what I'm saying, right? Yeah. But Muslims believe, and this is the only truth, that there is a life after death. And we are not just to stay here and that's it. No, there is a life after death. That's why we have this intensive amount of patience. No matter how much hard is life, you don't commit suicide. So in Islam is very harsh when it comes to the suicide. You do it, is going to hell. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever killed himself with something, عُذِّبَ بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him with the same thing on the day of judgment. No matter how much tough is life, only 1% left, you know. You know the battery, right? Only 1% left for your life. Let's say you can have access to this, you know, only 1%. If you are to complete it, hell. If you are to be patient, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show mercy upon you. You go to the real resting, you Allah. Yeah. This is our religion, you know. We believe in the life after death, so we're patient. We're patient. And this life is system. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, if you understand it correctly, you relax. Yeah. Yeah, just take life in the way it is. Take life in the way it is. Don't be scared of something. It's going to happen in the future. How do you know it's going to affect you? And how do you know it's going to mess up your life? And how do you know there will be no change? And how do you know how? Before things happen, we mess up our life. You became depressed, you became stressed, you know, so many things, you know. money, something happens to you, you know, you lost that money, you lost your business, and then you became depressed. You lost a family member, you became depressed. And you continue like that. Have psychological problem, mess up your life. Wallahu la yughayyiru qada'ahu bi sababina. Ya Allah. Allah SWT will never change His decree because of us. Things are going to go in the way Allah SWT prescribed them. We like it, we don't like it. They have to continue like that. So as a Muslim, I have to understand this, how things are working, you know. If you do understand, trust me, you will live, you know, in the state of happiness. Yeah, you will live in a state of happiness. You forget what happened. Yeah, whatever already happened, happened. Yeah. Last case close, you know. But are we like this? No, we're not. Something happens, I bring it to my life now. When did it happen? Long ago. So still remember it. Yeah, that's why it's very dangerous when you keep the pictures of the dead people, right? What happens when you take them after a long period of time and you watch? You see a person crying, shedding tears. That day you see him moody, very sensitive sometimes, you know. Yeah, Rajul, you know. Why? You mess up your life because of this. He already died. Went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much is he going to benefit from these tears that you are shedding? Zero. Zero. He will not benefit from your tears in any way. What benefits him is you remaining, you know, calmly, and you make dua for him and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. And wallahi, I say, you know, I don't want to use this word. Shame on the one who cannot remember his family member unless if he sees his picture. I don't love him unless if I see him. You know, I don't remember him unless if I see him. What kind of love is this? We claim that we love them. We don't want to keep it for memory, okay? When do I remember him? When I see that one. No, it's not supposed to be like this. It's supposed to be, this is my mother, this is my father, this is my brother, this is my sister, this is my children, my wife, and there we go. They die, I remember them from time to time. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many pictures he has for Khadija radiallahu anha? Zero. Don't tell me they don't have pictures, they do have. He came to his house, he found images on the curtains, right? Yeah, they do have. But he did not have a single one. SubhanAllah, I give charity on her behalf. Whenever somebody comes, you know, related to Khadija, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will fly to that person. Stop everything and go. Cannot forget that kindness and that good life. Cannot forget that this person happened to be part of our family members. So understand life correctly if you want to live a successful life. Otherwise, there will be no translation to those people who are committing suicide, among the Muslims killing themselves, except this. You know, that they don't understand the qadr. They miss it. And also this is always teaching us, you know, Allah reminding us that we are actually not doing what we are supposed to be doing. Yeah? Any event that happens in this life which is negative is a message to us that there is something which is lacking in our life. Yeah, I said this after the corona. How many people were depressed in the corona and after the corona? A lot. And you have attempt also by many of our brothers and sisters to kill themselves. What does that mean? That means there is some gap in our tarbiyah. Yeah? After this, we are supposed to come and fix it. And doing the right thing. Because we don't know how life is going to be in the future. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yati zaman illa walladhi ba'dahu sharrun minhu." They don't want good for us. You Allah. If you ever think that these guys don't want, they want good for you, you know, if we take the narration that said this is engineered in the lab, if you take this narration, they don't want good for us. You already know that. So you don't know what exactly these guys have been planning for us. So the best is to hold upon Allah. Because when you are holding upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no way for you to lose. Allah says, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. He says, I have to win. Allahu Akbar. I love this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have to win. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He and His people, His messengers and those who follow them, they have to win. You know. So nobody can win against you as long as you're holding upon your religion correctly. So any event, as I said, that is happening in our community is a message to us that that is something which is lacking in our tarbiyah, in our approaches, especially when it comes to the aqeedah. Wallah, only aqeedah help us to remove all of these ill behaviors in our communities. Correct aqeedah. Useless aqeedah cannot work here. We need the correct aqeedah that is sound, that is based on the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So he says, وَهَذَا أَيْضًا دَعْوَةٌ لِلتَّأَهُبِ لِمَا بَعْدِ الْمَوْتِ. So is the poet says, وَلَوْ أَنَّا إِذَا مِتْنَا تُرِكْنَا لَكَانَ الْمَوْتِ رَاحَةَ كُلِّ حَيٍّ وَلَكِنَّا إِذَا مِتْنَا بُعِثْنَا وَنُسْأَلُ عِنْدَهَا عَنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. The poet says, if the issue is that death is the end of this life, then death is going to be the resting moment for any living one. He said, however, this is not the situation. He says, the reality is that when we die, we will be resurrected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for recompense. وَنُسْأَلُ عِنْدَهَا عَنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And we are going to be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the resurrection about everything we did. So this book is an invitation to everyone to be prepared. When are we going to die? We don't know. That means, when is the best time to get ready? Right now. Yeah? Since we don't know. Yeah? قَالَ فَإِنَّ السَّاعَةَ قَدْ قَرُبَتْ. Because the day of judgment is very near. When is it going to happen? Any clue? When is it going to happen?
After the major signs.
So that's the best answer. Is there anyone who knows exactly when after the major signs? Nobody. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or you have any clue? No, right? So we know that it's going to take place on Friday, but which Friday? Allahu alam. Which Friday? We don't know. So if this is the case, then we should be better than the animals, right? Every Friday the animals are panicking, they're worried so much because they don't know, maybe this will be the last one. So for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a sign that we have to see this one before the day of judgment, but at the same time also we have to remember the day of judgment every single moment. You know? When a sign happened, we have to be scared. But now we are not like that, right? Yeah, we are not like that. Anything that comes, we take it as a joke, part of the life. This is part of the nature, you know, and that's it. As I always say, I don't care about kuffar. Lakum dinukum walidin. But my worry is about our brothers and sisters who are also imitating them in that regard. قَالَ فَإِنَّ السَّاعَةَ قَدْ قَرُبَتْ. The day of judgment is very close. When was the time Allah SWT told us that the day of judgment is near? Yeah, اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ. When was that? 1,400 and something years ago, right? Yeah. So if it was close at that time, in our time, it should be closer, right? Okay. And who is more negligent? Us. SubhanAllah. وَظَهَرَ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَشْرَاطِهَا. And the vast, and many, many of these signs of the Day of Judgment happen. وَإِذَا ظَهَرَتِ الْأَشْرَاطِ الْكُبْرَى تَتَابَعَتْ كَتَتَابِعِ الْخَرَزِ فِي النِّظَامِ إِذَا انْفَرَطَ عَقْدُهُ. He says, when the sign of the Day of Judgment happens, the major sign, they are going to keep following each other. Just like the way, you know, the beats, you know, the subha, right? The people do this as we are. And you catch the thread. What happens? They will keep on falling. Yeah. See, this is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَشْرَاطُ السَّاعَةِ خَرَزَاتٌ مَنْظُومَاتٌ فِي السِّلْكِ. Just like those beads that you arrange them in that thread. If you cut the thread, they will keep on following each other. That's why Mahdi comes. Before the end of Mahdi, Dajjal will come. Before Dajjal finish, Isa alayhi salam comes. Before Isa alayhi salam died, Ya'juj wa Ma'juj will come. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them off and bring the sun, you know, to rise from the west. You know, on the same day, according to the interpretation of many scholars, on the same day the beast will come, the animal. That's why in some places the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the day of judgment, between the day of judgment, between the time of Isa alayhi salam and the day of judgment, it's just like the time you need
when you have a newborn a baby of a horse, the time you need to take care of it until it is ready to be used. So we're talking about how many years? 5-7 years. You know, subhanAllah. Very close to the day of judgment. So he says they're going to keep following each other. وَإِذَا طَلَعَتِ الشَّمْسُ مِن مَغْرِبِهَا قُفِلَ بَابُ التَّوْبَةِ When the sun rises from the west, the door of Tawbah will be locked. خلاص. وَخُتِمَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَالِ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seal the books of the records of the deed. خلاص. So you're righteous, you can only continue to be righteous or to go against and lost and you cannot come back again. SubhanAllah. Imagine a life like this. Righteous people, whatever you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take it for you. And evil do also, this one, the record will be, you know, continuous. But the only thing that is stopped is entering Islam or accepting or repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one, khalas, is over. No more. You get it? We talk about this, inshallah. قَالَ فَلَا يَنْفَعُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ إِيمَانُ وَلَا تَوْبَةُ Iman will not benefit bearer if you do it after seeing the sun rising from the west. Because those people who think that the prophets are just joking, yeah, that is nothing called sign of the day of judgment, that is nothing called the day of judgment, when they see the sun rising from the west, what else left for them? Nothing. They will believe, you know, they will believe, as the Prophet ﷺ said. But he says, فَذَٰلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسًا إِيمَانُهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَنَتْ مِنْ قَبْلُ The one who did not believe before, his iman now is not going to benefit him. أَوْ كَسَبَتْ فِي إِيمَانِهَا خَيْرًا And the soul that is not a righteous person before, now when they want to repent, their repentance is useless, will not be accepted for them. إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ مُؤْمِنًا أَوْ تَائِبًا Except somebody who used to be mu'min before that. So when is the time to accept Islam? Now, right? So no more telling the non-Muslims, you should try Islam first to see whether you can do it or not, you know. And some of our dawah, sometimes you see, we give the non-Muslim a chance to try first, to see if they can accept or not. Yeah, you see some of them trying, for 1 year, 2 years, you know. Coming to the masjid, praying, fasting, you know, they pray, they fast, they do everything. If they die at that moment, where do they go? Hell. No ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Yeah. If they die at that moment, hell. As long as they don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the only one to be worshipped and Muhammad is the final messenger of Allah, they go to hell. Their fasting, their prayer will not benefit them. So that's why they do arch. Should be very smart, you know. Don't pressure so much, but use the best you can to make sure that you block the means for him to think of trying. Yeah? Just let him get in and try his best to become a better Muslim slowly, slowly and gradually. Yeah? And that's it. Don't give him discount. Don't tell him, just come and do whatever you want. Iman is the most important thing. No, don't tell him this. That's why talking too much is wrong. Right? Sometimes we go into the much detail. No. Yeah. We don't do that. Talk to them about Allah, but imaniyat. That's it. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the imaniyat. Other than that, then go through it. Because you might be going through those matters and they ask you a question that you will get stuck. Or you answer them in the wrong way and will take them away from Islam. Yeah, so the best is to be very straightforward and take the way of the Prophet ﷺ giving da'wah to the non-Muslims. So the best time, the only time to convert to Islam is now, not too late. And the only time, you know, for tawbah is now, the present moment of a person, without any delay. قال الله عز وجل يوم يأتي بعض آيات ربك لا ينفع نفسا إيمانها لم تكن آمنت من قبل أو كسبت في إيمانها خيرا The day some of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says لا ينفع نفسا إيمانها No soul will benefit from it إيمان لم تكن آمنت من قبل The one that did not believe before You know, and this, according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is referring to the sun rising from the west. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the time this sign arrives, no iman will benefit the one who does it right now. If he wasn't a believer before, his iman right now will not benefit him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْ كَسَبَتْ فِي إِمَانِ أَخَيْرًا. And the same goes to the one who did not do anything good. You know, he was a dissolute, he was a bad person. But then when he sees the sun rising from the west, he changed his mind to tawbah. At that time, tawbah would not be accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ إِذٍ. The Sheikh said, وَيَوْمَ إِذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَا سَعَى. A person will remember that which he did. A person will remember that which he did before. وَبُرِّزَتُ الْجَحِيمُ لِمَنْ يَرَى. And Jahannam is going to be exposed for everyone to see. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبُرِّزَتُ الْجَحِيمُ لِمَنْ يَرَى. And you know what? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jahannam will be brought, being chained by how many? Lijam? 70,000. Being chained by 70,000, you know, chains. Subhanallah. This very big place and very powerful and strong place and the most evil place you can ever imagine. Because as I always mention from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Jahannam, because of its evilness, it eats itself. Imagine something that eats itself. So every single chain will be held by 70,000 angels. Subhanallah. Not human beings, angels. And this place, we are told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a rock, you know, was cast inside hell, and it spent 70 years. Then it reached the bottom of hell. 70 years. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companion were sitting down. They heard the bang, big sound. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do you understand? Do you know what is this?" They said, "No, ya Rasulullah." He told them, "This is a stone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cast in hell." And it was there going until only now it reached the battle. And 70 years it spent. One of our predecessors, he says, and we are told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah promised this place to make it full. In Surah Qaf, Allah says, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمْ هَلِمْ تَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask Jahannam, "Are you full?" We say, "هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ." Because when Jahannam eat itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it permission to breathe twice in a year. And that's the worst what you can find yourself in during the winter and during the summer. So when they were debating Jannah and hell, they were debating each other about which one is the best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala settled the case for them, told them, "It is not in the way you are discussing. You are my mercy and you are my punishment. And I promise each one of you to make you full." So hell, Allah will be asking it, "Halim talati, are you full?" It will say, "Hal min mazid." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Sahih Bukhari, he says, "La yazal yulqa fiha fi an-nari wa hiya taqulu hal min mazid." Allah will keep putting hijara, rocks and people in hell. And hell is saying, "Ya Allah, I need more, I need more, I need more, I need more." Until the time nobody remains. All the people who are supposed to go to hell, they're already inside. And the rocks also already inside. Nobody left. But Allah told it that I will make you full. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَيَضَعُ الْجَبَّارُ قَدَمَهُ. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put his feet in hell. And then hell cannot stand that for sure. So it will shrink. And the way the size reduce, in the way it can only accommodate those who are inside. And then we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Qat, qat, qat," yani, "has be enough, I'm satisfied now." How about Jannah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also promised Jannah to make it full. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Allah will put everyone, until the last one," you already know that funny person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him in Jannah. And this man, he is the poorest person in Jannah. Lowest quality level in Jannah is this. But it is bigger than 10 times of this dunya of ours. And this man, if I to meet him, trust me, you ask him, he will be thinking that he is the best. Because he has everything. Everything he needs in Jannah, he has. And on top of him, you have minimum is 100 levels. But the scholar said, based on the hadith of Muslim, most likely we have thousands of levels on top of him. Each level between this one and the one on top of it is like between the heavens and the earth. If you were to move from your level to another level on top, you might see like, oh, what kind of life am I living in? I'm in a village actually, you know. And you in your house, you think that nobody received more than you. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making everyone satisfied. So if this person is like this, what do you think about those on top? We're not going to mention about those people in Firdaus. That's why the one who loves you so much, he said what? إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ الْجَنَّةَ فَسَلُوهُ فِرْدَوْسِ. He said, whenever you ask Allah for Jannah, ask Him to give you Firdaus. He said, فَإِنَّهَا أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ is the highest level in Jannah. وَأَوْسَطُهُ أَوْسَطُ here means the best place in Jannah. وَفَوْقُهُ عَرْشُ الرَّحْمَنِ and also on top of it, you have the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah. I always say that even if Firdaus is empty, wallahi, to know that Allah, you know, the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on top of it is more than enough to make you happy. Meaning you just look up, you see the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know that in this level, you know, a bit above you, maybe you are nobody except the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those big and important people, you know. SubhanAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawfiq. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Jannah, ask Him Firdaus. Yeah. So that's why we always say, Ya Allah, a'atina Firdaus. Ij'alna min warathati al-Firdaus. But then, we sleep. We cheat. You know, we do so many things. Laziness, and then tomorrow, Firdaus. And that is somebody there, who is, mashallah, very dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praying at night, being truthful in his life, in his business, is very honest. Whatever he does, he's very honest in his relationship with others, with his family, with his wife, with her husband, you know, with the children, with the friends, everyone, he does it according to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's also asking for Firdaus with a lot of fear. And I'm also asking for Firdaus. Yeah. So being realistic is always good. Yeah. He says, Tarjun Najata Walam Tasluk Tariqataha Inna Safinata La Tajri Ala Liyabasi. You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you, you want to be saved, you want to be protected, you want to pass, but you don't use the correct path that can lead you to success. He said, you should know that إِنَّ السَّفِينَةَ لَا تَجْرِ عَلَى الْيَبَسِ. You know, the ship cannot move and sail on a dry place. Except, I thought you're going to make a mistake and say سَفِينَةُ نُوح. Even سَفِينَةُ نُوح did not walk on a dry place, right? Allah sent down the rain or it bring it up first. Because this is the system, you know. Allah can make it like that. Moving on a dry place, this is nothing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah kept the sunnah. Inna safinata la tajri ala al-yabasi. So when you want something, work for it. You see, Allah give me Firdaus, work for Firdaus. You know, I remember reading long ago, somebody saw a dream, but this is just a dream, right? Dreams, we don't know whether it is true dream or not, but this person saw a dream and he saw one of the Hurul Ain in the dream. He get lost. Immediately he proposed, you know, to marry her. Can I be your husband? She said no. He said, why? She said, because you are sleeping and Qiyam al-Layl. She said, my mahar is Qiyam al-Layl and you are sleeping. So whether the dream is true or not, but it makes sense, right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Firdaus. So this is Jahannam. So this place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to make it full. So we're talking about Jannah, right? Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also promised to make it full. But you know, in Jahannam, Allah shrink the size of the hell to accommodate only those who are inside. because Allah is just. He doesn't create new creation and put them inside. They do not do anything. This is his right, he can do that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is against his justice. So he did not do. But for Jannah, the Prophet said, including the last one will go to Jannah. But Jannah is still asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, my promise. My promise. So what happened is, because everyone goes inside now, and there is still a lot of space in Jannah. You can imagine how big is this place, you know. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is not easy for a believer to see the last part of his kingdom in Jannah. Yeah, it's a life that you just have to wait until you go and see it, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us the day we will be combined, all of us and our family members, in this place, in the best place in Jannah, inshallah. So, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَيُنْشِئُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ خَلْقًا آخَرَ فَيُسْكِنَهُمْ فَضْلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create new creation, fresh, from creation to Jannah. Yeah. Because he promised Jannah, he will not shrink it. That balance of the space, Allah will create new creation and tell them to go and stay in that space.
New creation of what?
We don't know. Yeah. He says new creation. New creation, what we know is those people who are benefiting from Jannah are human beings and jinns, right? When he says new creation, the person that will come to our mind is new creation. Whether jinn or human beings or other creation. And Allahu Alam, and who cares actually? The point is we are in Jannah. Whoever is coming, we tell him ahlan wa sahlan. Just introduce yourself and tell us your name, you know. We are from Adam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaltufu bina. Qala burrizat al-jahim liman yara. فَأَمَّا مَنْ تَغَى. Okay, that's the most important thing, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ تَغَى. The person will be reflecting, remembering what he did in the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ تَغَى. As for the person who shows arrogance. What is arrogance? How come you just came now and he succeeded in answering my questions and you're all here, and then what is this, you know? بَطُرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْطُ النَّاسِ. Yeah, rejection of the truth and disrespecting others. That's arrogance. Rejection of the truth and disrespecting others. Allah says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ تَغَى. So as for somebody who shows arrogance, rejecting the truth brought by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. And he favored the life of the dunya over the akhirah. فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. If you want to see his final dwelling place is Jahannam. وَلِيَذْ بِاللَّهِ. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. As for the person who fears the moment he will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this one, if you have it in this dunya, trust me, this will be the best door for the taqwa to establish in your heart. One of the salaf, as-salihin, says, istihdar. عظمة الرب, you know, هذا المقام هي البوابة لاستقرار التقوى في القلوب. Reflecting upon you being standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this moment, he says this is one of the best door that you open for yourself to have the taqwa being firmly established in your heart. That's what we call muraqabatullahi azza wa jalla. Right? Always remember that there will be a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring you and ask you about what you did in this dunya. And you have to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in detail. And there will be nobody between you and Allah. The only thing that is next to you is your deed, good or bad. And hell also will be awaiting if you are to fail. Unless if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show mercy upon a person. قَالَ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And he stops himself from following the desire. So you can see what is leading us to this state of loss. إِثَارَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Favoring the life of the dunya. If I am offered a business, and I know that this is haram, but at the same time I said, I will make tawbah later. I'm doing what? Favoring the dunya. When I cheat, I'm favoring the dunya. When I bribe, I'm favoring the dunya. When I, you know, do any sin that exists, I'm favoring the dunya. Because if I favor the akhirah, I will make myself patient. I will be patient. I will not do that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hate, and I will be patient because I know that we are here for a temporary moment. Soon we will be taken back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a great accountability. So please do understand this correctly. We are here for a temporary moment. We are not here to stay. Yeah? So don't be distracted by the dunya. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been preparing for you in the future is far greater than what you see here. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him to Jannah. So the one who shows arrogance and follows the dunya will go to hell. And the one who is humble and follows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in everything, and he stops himself from following the desire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى Jannah will be the last place the final, destination for this person. نسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يجعلنا من الآمنين يوم الفزع الأكبر وممن يذلهم الله في ذله يوم لا ذل إلا ظله. He said, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the arsh al-azim, to make us among those aminin. Aminin means people who will be in a state of peace on the day of judgment, on the day everyone is in the state of fear. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this dua that you're going to be among the aminin on the day of judgment, you succeed. وَمِمَّنْ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ And from among those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put under the shade of his arsh, the day there will be no shade except that one. You get it? The sun will come very close to the people, but at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take some people and put them under the shade of the arsh. They will not suffer in the way people are suffering. So this is the end of the introduction. And then since this book originally is a research, is a thesis, so that's why he has the breakdown of the topic that he will be talking about them in about how many pages? A lot of pages, almost 7. So you have a discount of these pages. So we will skip them all, because this is just a table of content. Okay, they mentioned by him, so we will not read them. For those of you who are following the book, we'll skip them until the beginning of the book, which is Ahamiyatul Iman bil Yawm al Akhir wa Atharuhu ala Suluk al Insan. The importance of the belief in the Day of Judgment and the effect of that in our behavior. How does that impact our behavior? Inshallah. This will be the beginning of the dars, next class, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us good. And توفيق in this dunya إنه بكل جميل كفيل سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Any question?
First question is by Sister Murni السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخ
السلام ورحمة الله
A follow-up question on Sister Mooney, on her question regarding the difference between Ishraq and Duha prayer. How is the prayer different in virtue and reward when prayed right after a few minutes of sunrise compared to any time before 10 minutes of Dhuhr?
These are only all Duha prayers. Duha prayer is a prayer that you pray after 10 minutes after sunrise until 10 minutes before Dhuhr. Salatul Ishraq, Salatul Awabin, Salatul Duha, it's all the same thing. All the same thing. But if you are to stay in the masjid after praying the jama'ah, you maintain your position, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not engaging in talking to others until that moment, and you pray the 2 rakat, you'll be given the reward of Hajj and Umrah.
So there is sadaqah of every boon in the
world? These are all telling you that these ones are sufficient for you. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that this is different from Dhuha at the sea.
Next question. Question by Umrayyan. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخ يحسن الله إليك في الدنيا والآخرة How to help a person with some dementia or poor memory or brain injury to Salah Can we recite next to them or can they read what to say?
Yeah, they can read Rather than focusing on somebody it's better to give him something to read
Okay, sir. Question by a student
And they have to train themselves slowly, slowly, you know. Inshallah, this one will be gone. Bi idhnillah azawajal.
What, Alzheimer's? I have never read of a case of where Alzheimer's has been reversed. It can be... I'm asking
you. It cannot be cured.
Well, because I've never heard of it before. I've heard of people who...
Inshallah, soon you will hear that it will be gone. Inshallah. Inshallah. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no disease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to this life without sending a cure for that.
He says,
we know or we don't know. That's...
Isn't this like not a disease necessarily, but a natural process of aging?
This one is it the old age or?
No.
It just happened only to the old people?
Poor memory. It's poor memory.
No, good. Because we have some old. Is it like everyone who aged, he will start forgetting?
Everyone. This is everyone.
No. There are some people, you know, subhanAllah, even at the last minute they're too old, you can see the body is, but the aql is still there. He knows that Adam is in front of him, he knows what he's doing, he prays nicely, he prays, and there are people at the age of 120, they lead tarawih, they don't make mistake in the tarawih. You know, there are some people who are not like that, who Allah wants to preserve their aql. And this is what the scholar said actually concerning somebody who is very dedicated to the Quran. Inshallah, he will not be in this situation. Even like that. We have great scholars who did not have ikhtilat in the old age. Yeah, that's why the scholars of the hadith, they have this term, ikhtilata bi akhara, meaning at the last part of his age, he has this confusion, you know, not remembering that which he took from his scholars. So they have certain scholars who are like this. So they wait for them to read from their books, not from their memory. But there are many others who are older than them, but they're not like that. They're still okay, 100% okay. So what I'm trying to say, Adam, is since we have some people who are not like that, that means it's curable. Allah SWT can remove it if he wants.
But if these people were to hypothetically live much longer, wouldn't this naturally come? This is no different from someone dying at 30 or 40.
No. It doesn't go like that. The only thing that cannot be recovered is the old age itself. Somebody age, he cannot come back. But what happens in the old age, this one could be, and we have some people who they're very old with them. Yeah. I know some people, until the time they die, you know, we used to take one of the sisters as the oldest person, I think, maybe in the community. But then she also was reported to have said that this man, she grew up, she found him already grown up a person, you know. And until he dies, it's okay. Everything is okay. So what I'm saying, Adam, is there are some people who are not like this and some people are like that. That means it's curable. But the old age itself, you age, aging, this one, how can you fix it? You can't fix it. Yeah. This is what you call process of, you know, life. Do you get the idea? Cannot recover the old age itself. But can you be strong? Can you be okay? Can your brain be okay? Yes, a lot. Yeah, the body, if you see him, you see an old man, but mashallah, when they hold you, they drag you, you feel like you are dealing with a very young person. They go to the farm, they do all the activities. One of them was asked, what is the secret behind this strength and the ability you have? Because something happens, he jumped, just like a young boy. The way he jumped, you know, they were so amazed, you know. This old man, very old man, jumping like this. So they ask him, what is the secret behind this? You know, we see you being very strong. He said, تِلْكَ هِيَ جَوَارِحُ حَفِظْنَهَا فِي صِغَرِنَا فَحَفِظْهَا اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَنَحْنُ كِبَارٌ. He said, these are the limbs that we protect them and preserve them through our righteous deed when we are young. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting them for us. Going back to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, احفظ الله يحفظك. Take care of the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will take care of you. You get it? And scholars also, they relate this also to dedication, to your dedication to the Quran. You memorize and you put it into action. Inshallah, you will not reach that age. Bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla. Inshallah. So it's possible to have a cure. So we just leave it like that. When it goes, alhamdulillah. When it doesn't go, then the hukum is like this.
Okay, Sheikh. Next question. Next question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I have made a lot of du'as to never go back to a sin I was doing before Ramadan, and unfortunately I've gotten back to it. It is really getting me to a point where I hate myself. I know that Allah never disappoints, but I don't know why I'm getting these doubts. I'm afraid one day I may lose patience and transgress my limits. What should I do?
Transgress the limit? In what sense?
Being the sin. They may go far beyond the limits.
Okay, I don't get the last part of the question that much, but anyway, accepting the tawbah is Allah's job, not ours. And as a Muslim, I should try my best to make sure that I do the right thing. And I stay away from anything that is causing me to commit the sin. If this sin is being committed by me because of me attaching myself to friends, I have to immediately cut my relationship off with them. Have to. If it is a device, I have to cut off the relationship with that device. If it is a work, I have to terminate my contract with that work. Move to something else. Because the purpose of my life is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to come and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and enjoy the dunya. So my advice to this questioner is to look into the root cause. There has to be something. That one has to be stopped first. Otherwise, it will not be realistic. You will make tawbah, but you're still living in that place. You're still within the area of that thing which is, dragging you to the sin. You have to cut it off first. You know, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cut it off. This will be part of the tawbah. So this is my first advice. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cut it off. And don't lose hope in Allah. Try your best and do everything possible, you know, to make sure that you stay away from it. And always repent. Always repent. Don't lose hope. Don't say, no. All of these words that you have mentioned, they don't make sense at all. You hate yourself, you do this and that. No, keep them aside. Understand how much dangerous is your situation if you meet Allah like this. And that will help you to stay away from it. You know, stay away from it and be patient, you know. But the first thing you should do after repentance is to cut off your relationship with that thing, whatever it is. Human beings or whatever. Cut off your relationship with them. You know, change your lifestyle. You know, do everything possible to make sure that you don't go back to it. And don't promise. Don't say, I promise I will not go back. If I go back, I will fast. You know, don't do all of these things. You know, be brave. You know, be brave. Make sure that you know that this is wrong and just stay away from it. Train yourself to stay away from things without promising. Yeah. So this is my general advice to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq.
Next question, Sheikh. Question by sister. If I travel to a new city and change houses where I'm staying every few days, do I have to shorten my prayer?
Where is the houses?
I think in the new city.
If you're going to another place, you know, from this city to another city, from this city, you know, yeah, that's it. Keeps shortening your prayer. You're not stable in one place.
The shortage of prayer depends on the distance that has been mentioned by in the hadith that is somewhere around 77 kilometers.
You have a hadith that mentioned a distance?
No, it's in the Ghaz, this much yards. I'm not sure, but the mafhum comes and the distance when it's converted to kilometers, it comes to like 77, something like that. Am I right?
No, you're not. But I'm just asking a question. Do we have hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking about the distance of the Safa? From the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My answer, you used to want to modify my question and answer his question, not mine. My question says a hadith from Rasulullah. Not a single one to my knowledge. Hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking about the distance, not a single one hadith. That's why you have the differences among the madhahib. Yeah? Otherwise, if the hadith, there is a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why the differences? You have a hadith from Athar from companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why you have the differences among the madhahib. How long? What is the distance? Yeah. That's why the best is the one that says whatever is called safar, and you leave the premises of your people, whatever you call safar. You know, you're going to KL, you're going to Nilai, we don't call you a traveler, but you're going to Srambang, you go to Malacca, whoever you ask in this country, we tell this person travels. You get it? You know, and this is something that you make extra preparation. You take precautions a lot. You go, I go to KL, I don't make any, in my car, they have some problem, I just said, park it there and then I walk. I get into trouble, no problem, but do exercise for 3 days. You know? Yeah, but I will not go to those far places. I'm going to Perak. And then I say, well, no problem, inshallah. I make sure that I have enough money. I make sure that my phone is reloaded properly, you know, and I make sure that I take petrol before I leave, you know, to avoid getting into trouble. You know? These are what is known to be safar according to the custom of the people. This is the most closest opinion. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did qasr, as-salah, in kilometers that are not less than 24 to 28 kilometers. Dhul Hulayfa was not occupied by anyone. He went to that place and he did the qasr as-salah. Because at that time it's safar. Okay? It's not part of Medina. At that time it's safar. And so that's why we do the qasr in those days, you know. But now we don't do qasr when you go to Dhul Hulayfa from Medina. It's not safar at all. Yeah, sometimes the place is safar, but now it is not safar. Get idea. That's why some scholars don't agree with qasr as-salah between Makkah and Medina. Before it was, but some said no. Now Makkah and Medina, they come closer to each other, very close. Yeah, Although if you look at the kilometers, a lot. But between Taif and Makkah, qasr as-salah is safar. Around 90 kilometers, it's still safar because I think the distance is still too far, not like Makkah and Medina, you know. So the person who is doing the tanakul, she stays in one place, you know, and then she moved to another state, you know. So she comes to the place, she moved to another place, moved to another place, it's still a musafir. There is no istiqrar in their life, you know. They keep doing the qasr, inshallah.
Even then, there are still houses. And from the train station that I exit until, like, I don't know how many provinces, all the way there are houses. Like, you don't find.
They are connected to each other.
You don't find a certain distance where there is no house. All houses until, like.
There are no qasr.
No qasr?
Yeah. In some countries, you know, there are two states, but they are connected to each other. You know, they're almost connected to each other. But this is another state, this is another state. They look at, their ahkam are different. They have different governors, they have different authorities, you know, but they're connected. So the people from here, when they visit this place, they don't do qasr salah. On what basis you do qasr? No justification for this at all. You cannot say, no, we are a different country. Then do qasr salah. I said that you made that.
Just to say, two rakah, you're taking this.
Yeah. You have one of those losers. He was telling his people that if you want to, he was saying mushkilatu sawm. Even from this is Shia thing, you know. So this Shi'i guy was saying that mushkilat as-sawm, the problem of sawm. He said, many people are asking about the problem of sawm. Do we have problem with sawm? We don't. They have. So he says, and many are not knowing how to get rid of the mushkilat as-sawm. He said, you just need to go, how many kilometers? 20 kilometers? Just go out of your city. Just go to any 20 kilometers, break your fast, and then come back. So we don't do that. You just use the normal way, and if it is If you're blessed, this is your road, just use that road. And okay, complete. After then, I go back to you.
There is another province in Thailand, which is Phuket. It's an island. So now, if you travel there from the mainland, once you go into the sea, that's already a safari.
I know.
Because?
I know. Once you go into, you pass, you go into that place, that's safari.
Because there's no more.
That's safari, sharp. And if you want to break your fast, you have to get into the sea and move first. And that's the translation, that's how we translate the attitude of some of the predecessors when they start eating and they were on the ship and they can still see the buildings. So some people said if you have intention to fast, to travel, you can start eating even if you are within the buildings. But this is wrong. Yeah, and the evidence is that one, but this is wrong. Because the one who is in the sea is considered as mufarqatu al-buldan. This is another place. And that person ate when he is in the ship and the ship was about to move. And then he ate.
Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, you're the one. Yeah. I thought there's a behind.
Barakallahu feekum. Sheikh, I have a question that if someone were to ask, let's say, their parents for dua, for success in exams or whatever, would that be against the conditions of those who will be entered into Jannah without account?
He asked his parent
for
to
dua,
dua for them. No, yeah, that's fine.
It's fine.
You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, هم الذين لا يسترقون ولا يتطيرون ولا يكتبون, according to some narration, وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. No dua is being mentioned. You can ask somebody to make dua for you. Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. I have a question. When you mentioned the sun rising from the west and the gates of repentance closing, well, okay, repentance isn't accepted, but what about good deeds?
Yeah, I think we talk about this. I said your righteous deed will be there. You can continue to be righteous. Whatever you did, it will be recorded for you, good or bad. However, somebody who used to commit sin, but now he wants to repent from that sin, cannot. It will be written on his account and it will remain. He has to meet Allah with it. He has to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that sin.
Yeah, but
however, can he continue to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes. Okay. When he prays, the prayer will be okay and he will be given. But anything, any repentance that comes from him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for that which happens in the past, will be useless, you know. It depends. Yeah, it depends when the Hajj is being executed by the government. It depends. If a person repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the execution of the Hajj, then there's it. If he doesn't repent, the sin remained between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that punishment in this dunya took place, and if he repents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not open the case.
So after rising of the sun, there will be just the punishment, no repentance.
Huh?
In that case.
After?
After the sun rises from
the no repentance.
So
yeah, if he commits sin, any sin that he commits, it will remain like that. He cannot cancel that.
So Hajj will not cancel?
No, Hajj will remain until the day of judgment.
Hajj will remain,
and, Hajj cannot cancel, at all. Finish?
More questions. Should we take next class? Or?
How many questions?
Many questions. Sir.
What do you mean many?
Seven.
Seven? Okay, I give 5 more minutes. Okay. Keep asking until I tell you stop.
Okay. Question by Brother Uzair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum dina wa al-akhirah. We have the hadith where the angel on the left doesn't write a sin, we commit for 6 hours. Are these the same 6 hours that we calculate?
No. When you mention Sa'at, these are moment of time. Yeah. You get it? Moment of time. How big is the gap? Gap with them. But it's not 24 1 hour, 60 minutes. No, it's not like that.
Next question. Question by a sister. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. If someone ends up breaking an oath they made to Allah, but they didn't intend to break it, do they have to pay kafara? Like, for example, if someone has been trusted with a secret and they made an oath to Allah to not tell anyone, but they accidentally ended up telling that secret to someone, will they
have
to pay?
How accidentally?
By mistake, please.
How?
Forgetting that this was an oath.
How? No, seriously, how accidentally? Because this is talking, right? The moment I start sharing with Faza what you told me, trust me, I view that this information is from Mazin, and I remember that Mazin says, do not share with anyone. Yeah, how is it accident? They have to go for the kafara.
For example, if they are on a note and did it, for example, the secret is written on a note, someone else read it. So let's say that type of
I know that was not their fault. That person has to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who read somebody else's note.
Sheikh, maybe it's out of emotion. Just out of emotion.
He shouldn't. When I come and I see Adam sitting down doing something, I'm not supposed to look at what he is doing. It's wrong to look at other people's things. Yeah, you are holding the phone like this. It's wrong for me to come and watch. Yeah. The accident one, I look at you, I look at whatever is going on, and then I turn my face. But sometimes we don't do. And then I tell you, it was accident. Which accident? No, I can't. Yeah. So if that happened, that person has to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know.
But it was about payment of kafara.
Yeah, I said that I did have to go for this. Because I cannot imagine a mistake in this. Yeah,
so same question, but about kafara. So we'll have kafara in the case.
Yeah, kafara is kafara to nadhar. You feed 10 needy people, or feed or clothe them, give them dress to wear, or free a slave. If any of these, khisal of the kafara is not available, then he goes for fasting for 3 days.
No,
continuously.
Once the door of Tawbah is closed.
No, you mean in that, in those days?
Yeah, in those
no, he does the kafara, but between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
But you also say that kafara is like.
No problem, but that noun, it doesn't do that one. The kafara, and after the sun, then it doesn't do what it used to do. But is it right? They have to. Just like the way those people who are desolate, they still have to pray. Yeah, otherwise there will be another sin. You get it? They do the kafara, but the effect it used to have, now it will not have.
Sheikh, regarding when the sun rises from the west, what's after the sun rises from the west, does that mean that there is no money for istighfar?
There's no
need for istighfar.
No, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, it will not work after that.
So there is no need for istighfar?
I will not say there is no need, but if you ask Allah to forgive you, it will not work.
Sheikh, so how about like Ramadan, the year after the sun rises from the west?
I know. That is Ramadan.
Ramadan
do the kafara for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Tawbah will not be accepted after the sunrise.
Sheikh, can we say kafara is Tawbah?
It depends what kafara. If you're talking about activities, action that are acting as an atonement to remove your sins, it's like when you're doing them, it's like you're repenting to Allah. It stands on the repentance. Would there be forgiveness after that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the door to repent is gone. When you fast in Ramadan, does that mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of your previous sins? Allahu a'lam. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the door of Tawbah will be closed. As long as a person was not righteous before, was not a mu'min before, now he cannot fix it. So, I don't want to say, rather than saying, Allahumma gfirli, right? I fast. So I divert that one, because if I say Allahumma gfirli, he will not have the action, right? I fast. So I just relax, right? Ramadan is coming. I just fast Ramadan, we will do the expiation. Yeah. it doesn't work like that. You get an idea. So the door of Tawbah is closed. We just leave it like that. Door of Tawbah is closed. Ramadan, you fast in Ramadan, would you get reward? Yes. But that impact that Ramadan used to have, in which your sins will be removed from your account, is that going to be there? This is, we just leave it with Rabbul Alamin. Just be good. That's it. Just be good.
Let's take one last question.
I said just ask until I stop you. I have four here.
Sheikh, can we fast one day for two sunnah fasts, such as white plus sawal, or even let's make it three? For example, today can be Monday white and sawal. Can we do it? Can we do that?
Yeah, inshallah.
But we cannot do it for Ramadan, right?
No. I know. No, you have to just make it Ramadan, Ramadan. However, if you are usually fasted Monday and Thursday, but now you're making of your Ramadan, you know, so you happen to fast also your makeup of Ramadan on Monday, you will get the reward of fasting on Monday, and because this is your behavior. You are not doing it because you're making up Ramadan. The same goes to the one who is usually fasting the 3 white days. And now you're doing the Shawwal. And Shawwal happens to be, you know, to have to include those days. Be it like Allah, you will not lose your reward.
If you don't have the behavior, and then you are fasting with the intention of...
This is where your question is important. I hope, inshallah, it's okay. I hope. Inshallah. Inshallah.
Next question.
I'm researching on the beginnings of creation to counter what is taught in schools. Are the books of Tabari's history good and sound? Are the books of Tabari's history good and sound?
Tabari, book of Tabari, Tariq al-Umam al-Muluk, has a lot of things which are wrong and right. And so you have to really be careful. Ibn Kathir is closer, because sometimes he tells you these are khurafat, these are. And even Ibn Kathir also has what he has, because he never promised to keep only that which is correct. So, because these books, they are designed by the student of knowledge who can do further research to make sure that this is okay or not. Yeah, 1 minute left, 2 minutes.
No? It's printed, there's a new print for Tariq al-Tabari with Muharraj.
Takhrij. So Yusuf says that is the publisher that published a new version, right? Which has all the commentary on the hadith, right? Okay, that's good. So you can refer to that one to know which one is right, which one is wrong.
Next question, if the amounts are the same, credit 9 ringgits and cash 9 ringgits, then do we say it's not a aina anymore? It's just a normal loan?
What is that?
Aina or
Aina? Aina. Aina.
Can we say it's not Aina anymore? It's just a normal loan?
I don't get.
There's a question. The amounts are same, credits 9 Arab and cash 9 Arab. Then do we say it's not Aina?
Okay, I got it. So meaning, rather than him paying in the future, no. It's not, because the Prophet said, "Fellow who awkasuhuma aw riba," he takes the lowest amount. So he's taking the lowest amount, which is the same 9 ringgit that he gave that person. Yeah, in the future he takes 9 ringgit. That's okay. That's fine. Inshallah. Okay, that's it. Inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.